Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Flies in with a two-handed slam dunk. What a jam by Zach.
Lonzo beating Vucevic outside the box on the right. Puts it on the deck. In front to DeRozan. Three ball on its way. Got it! DeMar DeRozan for three in his first attempt beyond the arc tonight. And DeMar DeRozan with 15. 82-81 Detroit. Ball holding and looking in play to Levine, left corner. And they go circle left now to Vuce. Caruso. Right corner, Lonzo for three. Yes! Back-to-back jacks. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win!
This ain't last year. We're looking forward now. It's all a new team, all new mindset. So excited that we grinded that one out. And a win's a win.
I think it being the first game, I was really happy that we gave ourselves a chance to win not playing very well on offense. That, to me, was the positive. And I think a lot of times when people sit there and say, well, you're going to score. This is the hardest part for us to figure out, because they're all used to offenses running through them. Okay. Zach last year, Vuce in Orlando, and even DeMar. The beauty about those three guys is they're so unselfish that they don't necessarily, they're not all looking for that. But it's a little bit different for all of them. We got to coexist off each other a little bit better than we did. But the willingness to pass is there.
Hey, Matt, Jalen Johnson posted a picture of the fine you gave him. Is this not like a bigger issue than the fine itself?
That's news to me, but at the same point in time, I'll be able to talk to him and see, what that's all about. But Jalen's been he's been doing great. And, again, for what it is and where we're at, I'll be able to discuss it with him.
You know, I was studying a little bit on the Bears and the Packers and watched a lot of that. That was another great game. And actually, before we get started, I wanted to say congrats to Aaron Rodgers, obviously, not always a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And that's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now, part owner of Soldier Field. So he's got a great career beyond football.
Oh, God. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR. What a great group that is, for sharing the Bulls highlights. And you heard the voice there of Zach LaVine, and you heard Billy Donovan. We got to talk about what Billy Donovan said, because I thought that was very insightful. And then you heard Matt Nagy surprised about Jalen Johnson's Instagram post. Nobody told me. Now he's going to talk to him. Maybe he should have talked to him before. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an maybe idea. Maybe so.
And yeah. And you heard there from Tom Brady on Let's Go with Tom Brady and Larry Fitzgerald, Jim Gray on Sirius XM Radio, NFL Radio.
Plenty of time to get to the Bears nonsense, Mully, but I think you're right in looking at what Billy Donovan had to say. That was a good win for the Bulls. You heard the excitement in Chuck's voice because it reflected, I think, the fan base. This is an exciting time, and I think the headline is what Zach LaVine said postgame. This ain't last year. And last year, they may have lost that game, right, or they wouldn't have been still in a position to win it late. Their offense did struggle early. The chemistry issues will come. But I like what Donovan had to say. This is a team who has now three guys used to the offense going through them, guys who could be your number one options,
right?
And how they develop a pecking order, which I think we both kind of agree where it starts and how it goes, but it takes some time. And you saw that early. They missed a lot of easy shots. The chemistry wasn't as obvious early. They scored 14 points in the first quarter. But weren't you encouraged by the end of the game how this started to kind of trend and the direction it seemed to be headed?
Well, it was the first season opening victory for the Bulls since 2016. Think about what was going on in 2016 and where we are now. So
that would have been
while the Cubs were en route to their World Series championship, and the Bulls open up and win a game, and they haven't done that since that. It seems like a very long time ago. It seems more than 5 years ago, David, if you think about the people that were in town then and the people in town now and all the rest of it. So I think it's pretty wild. But I liked what he said because I think we saw evidence of it. I like what Billy Donovan said about the unselfishness because I thought DeMar DeRozan just looked for his spots. I thought that Vuk was a guy, I believe he finished with 15 points and 15 rebounds, and they needed those rebounds. So I think that he fit his game into it, and I think that it's Zach LaVine's team, and he got the ball, and he did the heavy lifting, and he hit all the free throws. He didn't miss any of those free throws, especially down the stretch, and they needed every one of them.
Zach LaVine and Vooch did the two-man game well. That kind of it reminded you of last season, and I thought that there was it was odd because when the Bulls needed to kind of get going, it was that chemistry between Vooch and Zach that you thought they leaned upon. They just got to know each other. Hey, by the way, how you doing? Last March, and now here they are, kind of they are the combination that you feel most comfortable with handling the ball and in using that two-man game when they need a big basket. DeRozan will find his spots. He's a proven NBA scorer, Mully, and I think that's what Lonzo Ball's job is, to figure out how this all fits together, and Patrick Williams will find his spots. But it's going to take time because there will be times when these guys feel like, okay, it's my time or whatever. I felt like one of the most encouraging signs was Zach LaVine kind of not trying to do too much. He wasn't trying to force the issue. And then look, he's got 34 points on 11 of 17 shooting, so a very efficient night for him. Smart player, and he comes back after the Olympic experience better for it.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, you know, they did not necessarily knock down the threes they needed. They shot 30% from three-point range, hit some big ones. Vuk hit a big one to get him going. I thought that Lonzo Ball hit a big one in the corner. But they don't have kind of that guy that just kind of stands there and knocks down the three, you know, the pure kind of catch and shoot type player. But I thought they were learning each other as the game was going on. I thought that they were, you know, and this is going to be an ongoing process that they, you know, it's a new team, it's a new beginning. And they're figuring out what they're doing. And they don't have a ton of time to do that. They've got about five or six games before they really get into some meat of the schedule, some really difficult teams. So it's going to be important to keep an eye on this as we move forward. You know, Zach LaVine didn't do much in the first quarter, but he led the team in scoring in each of the next three. That's kind of a Michael thing, you know, where you see who's on, who isn't, and then you take over. He took over the third quarter in the way that Mike would, where you're just, you know, okay, we need points. We got to get this going. I'm going to do this and that. That was really impressive, I thought. So I appreciated everything he did. And as I said, the free throws were so important. He really had to knock down every one of those, and he did so, and that made the game a hell of a lot easier at the end.
23 of his 34 points came in the second half. I thought it was really interesting how they had a break. I think it was 84-82. Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine. Ball made the pass right back to Zach at the right time for the finish, and that was a key moment in that fourth quarter, and Zach LaVine did finish for the Bulls. And they were in that situation, and able to overcome whatever offensive awkwardness there was because they played D. And that is something that the Bulls teams under Billy Donovan or whoever haven't done in a long time. And they did it unconventionally, Mully. I pointed this out earlier, but it was just fascinating to me. Last possession, they're trying to get a stop by the Pistons, and they've got basically four guards and Patrick Williams on the floor. They went small. Yeah. I don't know how often you're going to be able to do that, but they did it last night and got away with it.
Well, they're going to have to do it. They don't really – I mean, what other option have they? They kind of have to do that, unfortunately, and it is it is going to be an issue to keep an eye on. But, you know, they are the team they are. You know, they don't have that power forward that you want. They don't have that guy to go clean the glass. It's just – it isn't the way this team is formulated for whatever reason, you know, probably money. But I like the group they have. I do. And I think it's going to – they're going to get better. They're going to get better as the season goes on. And, you know, I think had they lost that game, I think I'd have exactly the opposite opinion. I mean, I think that watching it and seeing the struggles they had and the way they overcame the struggles and the adversity made me feel like they're going to get better and they're going to be okay. Had they not been able to overcome those struggles and adversity, I'd have been like, oh, this thing's a train wreck. They're not big enough. They don't have the right team. They didn't put the right team together. It's that simple. Well, I mean, it really it makes that much a difference. To me, the difference is Billy Donovan. I think the guy's a hell of a coach. I thought what he said was really insightful, and I hope that he has his influence on this team in the way I think he will.
And it was just the season opener, but I think what you just stated reflects maybe a lot what a lot of Bulls fans were feeling, because so much went into this offseason and we heard so much about the upheaval and all of the players and the turnover with the roster with AK and Eversley, and now they've got all the mix that they want. And had they lost to the Pistons without Cade Cunningham in the season opener, it would have been deflating. And now you're like, oh, well, they're going to get the four victories by Monday night. And now we're looking at it in a far different way. And not to compare the Bulls to the Lakers, because I don't want to do that, but I guess I'm doing that. You know, when I'm talking about three players learning how to play together, we saw against the Warriors with the Lakers with LeBron and Westbrook and Anthony Davis. LeBron and Davis were fine, and Westbrook's kind of finding his way in a similar fashion, not the same, but in a similar fashion. I think the Bulls' big three of DeRozan, Vooch, and Zach LaVine, it may take some time before they really figure things out, but I think we saw by the end of the game in the fourth quarter yesterday just being a little bit more fluid offensively, and already they're starting to figure out how that's going to go together.
All right, David, I don't have to tell you. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
312-644-6767. Marcel is in Wheaton. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Morning.
This angers me, this whole thing about the quarterback. But, you know, if they're the butt of jokes among NFL players, then they deserve it. They put themselves in this position. You know, if you allow a guy to come into your house and do what they did and then proclaim that he owns it, then do something about it. Lace them up on Sunday and go out there and hit somebody and tackle people. And if you get across the 50, come away with at least 3 points. I mean, how many times we've seen these guys go across the 50 and got good field position only to come away empty-handed, and then you've seen the poor tackling in the secondary. I mean, it's no wonder that a guy like Aaron Rodgers can say what he said. Trust me, I'm old school. If somebody came to my house and started yapping about he owns me, then the following week I'm going to make sure that the team I'm playing, I may not win, but I'll let them know that they're in a dogfight. You know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the fight in the dog. And these guys got to show up on Sunday. You don't like what's being said? Then show up on Sunday, lace them up, and go out there and hit somebody and let them know that they've been in the fight. And let them know that the next time you guys play, they may not win, but you're going to find out that you were in the fight. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
It's a good call, Marcel. I agree with him. Here's my fear. How much fight's in the coach? How much does he want to fight someone, or would he rather kind of do some reverse type of, you know, I'm going to trick you, I'm not going to fight you? I think that what really impressed me with what Michael Lombardi said is he said that the Bears became a tougher football team because of Justin Fields, because you had to play Justin Fields, so you had to run the ball. So you became this run-heavy, tough football team that isn't the character of what they wanted to do on offense when the season started.
You need to take this mockery, if you want to call it that, or you want to take the punchlines that you've become by two, you know, of the game's legends. And if you're a coach with the Bears, you've got to try to use everything you can to motivate, or to, you know, you can't ignore it. And so if you're going to refer to it at all, you want to use it as maybe motivate. It should make you mad. I mean, if you're in that locker room, it should make you mad. I don't know if that's going to help against the Bucks. I don't know if anything is going to help against the Bucks, but you can at least embrace this identity of being a team nobody's going to push around, and that kind of mentality, you know, that kind of physicality is what you want to be as a football team.
Amen to that. All right, we've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
In a pregame interview with ESPN, Zach LaVine downplayed two questions about his contract status and pending free agency at the end of this season, putting winning first as he consistently has. Do you expect LaVine's contract status to be a constant issue this year? Can you see it affecting his play if he's asked to address it as the Bulls become good enough to warrant national attention?
You know, I think it is a simple formula. I think Zach LaVine, if you play like you played in that game and you play like you play last year and continue to improve and U.S. basketball, all of that contribution, I think that you're going to see him get a max contract. So I think he's playing for that. And the very fact that the Bulls are the only team that can give him that is going to be an important factor in it. And I think that he probably needs to get to the playoffs, probably needs to know what that's like, and continue his ascension. He's the way he looks, what he's able to do, he's going to get paid. And he's going to get paid from the Bulls more than anywhere else, so I don't think he's leaving. I think that this is not going to be as negative a story as we make it sound here based on his unwillingness to sort of take part in that interview. I think that, yeah, he's going to be asked about it, but the very fact that they can pay him more means he's going to end up staying here.
And I think it's almost a positive when he's asked about it. He speaks as well as he does on the topic, and he sounds committed, and there is no reason to question his loyalty, and really there's no reason to question him at all. We are watching a player enter his prime. We are watching a all-star ascend to elite status. I don't think that's overstating it. Zach LaVine had a huge summer. That Olympic experience made him a more complete player, a better professional, and I think we just saw a glimpse of that last night. He was very efficient offensively. He is saying all the right things. He is making all the right decisions, and I think that bodes well for the Bulls. You're right. They will be in a position to offer him more money than he could imagine making anywhere else, and I think that he loves everything about this franchise, the direction it's headed, and the players they have surrounded him with. So, yeah, he's going to get more attention because I think the Bulls are going to be pretty good, and I think Zach LaVine is going to handle it like a pro.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
Man, Jalen Johnson posted a picture of the fine you gave him. Is this not like a bigger issue than the fine itself?
That's news to me.
Is Matt Nagy taking more blindside hits this season than quarterback Justin Fields? The coach found out while at the podium yesterday that cornerback Jalen Johnson posted a letter from the coach on the gram informing the player that he was fined $2,745 for, quote, an unexcused late to building on Tuesday. In a since deleted post, that's what Bears DBs do, Johnson wrote, quote, "This she crazy, bruh. Walked in as it turned 8:16 and they text me like this."
I wish Bears defensive backs would blindside receivers the way they do their head coach, and then we would have less to complain about. This is silly. This is another bit of silliness from a Bears defensive back room that has gone soft. I don't know what he's complaining about. If you don't like getting fined for arriving at 8:16, don't be 1 minute late. Be 10 minutes early. This is on you, Jalen Johnson. This is all you. I know that you're upset about getting fined $2,700 for being 60 seconds late. But if you don't like it, correct it. You have to be a better professional. This isn't on the coach. And this is, frankly, if I'm Matt Nagy, I'm as upset about somebody in my front office or PR staff that didn't tell me about this as I am with Jalen Johnson for, you know, responding to a fine. So more silliness from the Bears. Focus on football.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And I think that, look, this guy got paid as a second-round pick, and I'm not suggesting that he's broke or anything, but his base salary is, hopefully he took that signing bonus and put it away. That base salary is $900,000. Even if you're making close to $1 million a year, you got to feel $2,745 is a pretty big hit if you were a minute late and no one gives you a break. I think it would have all been, it all would have been unnecessary if the coach had just said it to him. Hey, you're going to get a letter because you were late. I'm sorry, but you're a minute late and we can't have it. Maybe if the kid knew, he wouldn't have been as outraged as he was to get the letter. Sometimes when you don't know something is coming and you get bad news, you overreact, which is seemingly what he did by posting it on the gram. Having said that, I think that the coach needs to, he needs to be a consistent personality and talk to these guys exactly how things are and not just be seashells and balloons and, I'm going to have to talk to him now. But, hey, he's been playing great. Come on, man.
Scoreboard Update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. Zach LaVine, 34 points. Bulls come from behind, knock off the Pistons in Detroit in game one of their NBA season, 94-88. Game two comes on Friday. The Bulls will be hosting the Pelicans. You can hear it right here on The Score. The Bears are going to be back at work later on this afternoon, getting ready for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll find out if Jimmy Graham will practice. We'll find out if Hicks can practice, if Mack can practice, and if Allen Robinson can get out on the practice field. Darnell Mooney was limited with a groin. The Bucs are favored by 12.5. Total on this one is 47. 7 o'clock tonight right here on The Score. NFL Week 7 gets underway. Broncos at Browns. No Baker Mayfield. That means the quarterbacking duty for the Browns will go to Case Keenum. ALCS Game 5, all Astros. They rock the Red Sox 9-1. This series now moves back to Houston. Houston can clinch their third pennant in 5 years with a victory Friday night. Braves also one win away from the World Series after a 9-2 win over the Dodgers. And the Braves have their ace, Max Fried, throwing tonight in L.A. game number 5. It'll be game number 4 for the Blackhawks. They've started the season 0-3-1, and they are hosting the Canucks, who are 1-2-1 over at the UC. Football is going to return to Wrigley Field November 20th, the date. That's when the Cats host Purdue. Tickets are on sale at Cubs.com/football.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
Did you enjoy Justin Fields talking about watching some of the great NFL quarterbacks he's seen put together drives to consistently score?
You have to put together a lot of plays on a good drive to score. Like I said before, it just can't be 2-3 good plays on a drive. You have to put together consistently, you know, positive plays to get down the field and, of course, at least get points.
Is Fields learning?
Yeah, you know, I weird as it may sound, I enjoyed what he had to say a lot more than the admiration of the coach to these guys. I think that Justin Fields needs to know that it's not one or two plays. It's consistently putting together good plays to drive down the field. I think he's standing there, he's watching that, and it's underscored to him because the defense didn't play all that poorly. They couldn't stop the run, but they had to put together some big plays and more than one in order to finish off the Bears in that game. And, of course, they did it because, of course, that's what this guy does. Nonetheless, I think it's important for Fields, if there is a lesson to be learned, it's that. And he needs to know that it's not just a play here or there. It is that consistency of performance that is going to make him a better player. So I think In this case, Fields is picking up on the right thing.
I think you're right. I think he's learning life in the NFL is hard. It's hard to move the football. And those defenses, you know, make it difficult because you're not playing Rutgers anymore. And the Minnesota on the schedule is the Vikings, not the Golden Gophers. And it's going to be much more difficult to move the ball down the field. That's why when you watch the great ones, if you see – you know, yeah, you're going to see the 4 touchdown passes by Brady and the great accurate throw by Aaron Rodgers, but you also see a tendency to take the simple pass and to not overcomplicate things. They will take the 7 to 9 yard throw when things break down, and maybe Justin Fields needs to learn from that. Whatever it is that he takes away from watching these guys, it's good that he's watching these guys. Justin Fields, the education continues, and this is about him learning how to be a better NFL quarterback. The efficiency will come. The explosiveness is there. And I think once you get the both merging and married together, that's where you're going to get a more complete quarterback.
Pick six.
Why is it important or irrelevant that White Sox general manager Rick Hahn hold an end-of-the-season press conference addressing everything that went right and wrong in 2021? And do you think there's something going on behind the scenes because Hahn hasn't?
I don't think so. I haven't heard that. I haven't talked to people that suggest that. I do think it's important, though. I don't think it's irrelevant. I don't think this is just a media complaint. I think it's important to set the context for the offseason. I think it's important to put the 2021 season in perspective, and that needs to come from the top. That needs to come from Rick Hahn. He has been the guy consistently talking about multiple championships being the goal. They haven't won a playoff series since he has said that. They need to do that. And I want to know why they didn't. I want to know why he thinks they didn't. I want to know why he thinks the starting pitchers broke down in the playoffs. Were they overused in September? Do they need to have a better plan moving forward? What is your plan at second base, right field, and in the starting rotation? I want to hear from Rick Hahn because I think it's important Sox fans do, and I think it's important for him to chart the course for the offseason.
You know, I think there's a ton of things I'd like to know, and I think that Rick Hahn might not yet have the answers because of the delay in the CBA and how that's going to work out. But, you know, we've heard about Craig Kimbrell from Bob Nightingale. I would like to know what the White Sox think of it. We have not heard anything about Cesar Hernandez. You know, $6 million for a guy with an elite glove and kind of mediocre hitting who didn't do well for you. Maybe when you look at the open market, that's not as bad a value as you might think. So what do you want these options on contracts, and you get them, you got a team option. Are you going to exercise it or not? And I think that those are issues that I'd like to know. Are they going to do something about Carlos Rodon? Does an expiring contract mean you're done with a guy? You know, whether it be him or Tapera or Billy Hamilton or, you know, whomever, name someone. Hey, what's going on with Lucas Giolito? Do you need to get him a new deal? How are you going to handle that? I think there's a ton of players that I want to know what their plan is for. And I also think he, just as a matter of course, he should talk when the season ends. I think a lot of us were very upset about the way that season ended and all the talk about championship. I'm going on too long, but I could literally sit here and go through the roster and go through why he needs to speak.
A pick six to end the half.
According to an ESPN report, the Cubs have been, quote, cultivating information about the elite shortstops who will be free agents. Are you buying that? What should the Cubs' priority list at shortstop look like if that's true?
Carlos Correa, see if you can get him, or Corey Seager. Those seem like two pretty good players that are still alive for now. And one of them should be playing shortstop for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay, Twitchers, what? See what that time is? It's Carlos Correa time. That's what Tom Ricketts needs to see. That's what Jed Hoyer needs to embrace. Even our guy Carter Hawkins. Carlos Correa should be at the top of the shortstop list. It's top of everybody's wish list if they're looking for a shortstop, and the Cubs should be. I understand Nico Hoerner is here for a reason. I understand that there may be other guys who might be more affordable, but you got to think big. And if you're going to be as aggressive as the reports indicate, it starts with Carlos Correa, and then maybe Trevor Story, and then maybe Corey Seager, and then maybe somebody else down the road, but you have to aim high.
Love's a good cheater. He was the guy that bowed to Sammy Sosa.
A pick six of 100 yards!
Several Champaign media outlets quoted Illinois players in support of Brett Bielema and the Illini coach's comments essentially saying his players weren't good enough. Do you think that support is genuine and Bielema achieved his desired goal of motivating and unifying players? If so, did that justify his tone?
Let me say this. I have a lot of time for college athletes, college players, speaking to the media, learning that part of the process, and it's all about the maturation and being an athlete and having, you know, that experience. But what are players going to say? I applaud them for supporting their coach. I applaud them for showing more loyalty to the program than maybe those words from their head coach suggested a day earlier. It wasn't out of context, people. It wasn't kind of, oh, you need to hear the whole interview. When you say things as a head coach, you have to be prepared that how you frame them and your tone and how you say them could be potentially used if you get a snippet of 2 minutes from a 25-minute interview or 15-minute interview. Players were doing what they are conditioned to do, what they should do, what they feel is right to do. They're defending their coach publicly. It would be great if their head coach could have had their back in the same manner a day earlier.
Yeah, this is a classic falling in love with your tormentor. I believe it's called bully romance. You know, you have somebody that controls your life and you need them in your life, and so you embrace the tough love, I'm using air quotes, that they give you with their bullying, insulting behavior. So, no, I'm not getting on board with what he did or the tone of it being justified. I thought it was just, you know, kind of awful, and I feel bad for the kids that are falling in love with their tormentor. That is the pick six. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hawn's Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Definitely a lot of plays. I mean, even in the games, like after the game, I mean, it was we didn't win. We didn't get what we wanted to get out of it. But I mean, you definitely see and definitely understand that it's something there, and things are going to eventually pop. And when it does, it's going to be extremely fun. Right now, it's just, you know, just trying to get everything on the same page. And like I said, it's a process, and we'll get there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is Darnell Mooney saying that the Bears' offense is close to breaking out. It's eventually going to pop, David.
Okay. Is it? Okay. Promise? I think Darnell Mooney is going to be a really good NFL wide receiver. He already is a nice number two on the Bears. He leads the Bears in receptions. You know, he's got 25 for 306 yards. You know what that would put him on the Buccaneers list? Fourth behind their top three guys. Is it going to pop? Is this a process? Have we heard this all before? He's coached well, Mully, because he's saying the right things. Where is this? Where are they going to get the points? Aren't we all tired of waiting for it? Why does he see a reason for optimism when the rest of us just see the same old type of stagnant offense week in and week out?
Yeah, I think he probably has more faith in Justin Fields to figure it out than maybe people that are not on the inside looking at it, right? I mean, I think that if you're there and you're seeing something happen in practice and you feel like he's on the verge of some breakthrough, maybe that's what you're talking about, as opposed to people on the outside watching the game unfold and thinking, boy, you missed this and you missed that, and getting frustrated by the lack of points that are being scored. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's right in this one, but I like that he is positive about it, and I like what I've seen from him and his kind of chemistry with the quarterback that we've seen thus far.
He's got really good chemistry with Justin Fields. That is an encouraging sign. I like everything that he has to say. He's a pro. I worry more about the receiver opposite Darnell Mooney and how his state of mind is on a weekly basis, where he really is at in terms of the optimism that we heard from Darnell Mooney. Allen Robinson, 21 catches, 234 yards. We're entering week 7, Mully. That's not where he expected to be. That's not where anybody thought he would be. That's a lot of money for that limited production.
Well, it's a ton of money, and he is not going to be paid like that next year. Let's put it that way. I think that he's a pretty good receiver, and he is a guy that should be still in sort of the best part of his career, and yet, you know, he's getting all the money. And he's taken a chance on himself. He didn't want a long-term deal because he knows that with another season, he'll be on the open market and he'll be able to go anywhere he wants and teams will be bidding upon him. And I wonder, given the fact, you know, when Mooney is running a crossing pattern or Mooney is running a route, he's open. He can be open. That's not just NFL open. And I think that for a young quarterback, he may need Allen Robinson to be more open than just NFL open, and the trust level is not there yet. Therefore, the production level is not there yet. And if there is no production level, there's not going to be a pay level. So I would worry about Allen Robinson as well, because I think he's in a difficult situation in terms of – listen – you know, what do they say? That if you have $7 million, you're a real millionaire. You feel like a millionaire. If you have $1 or $2 million, apparently that's not enough. I mean, let's challenge that, please. Somebody throw me a couple mil. But it's supposedly $7 million. So Allen Robinson is well paid, has established himself, and is got enough money to not worry about the future. Nonetheless, with the money comes the expectation, but it also gives you the kind of glory that people really respect. Want. Yes.
Respect.
And you're going to feel disrespected when you don't get your $18 million next year.
Let me ask you this. He did show a reluctance to want to sign with the Bears long term. Mm-hmm. That could have been in part because of the difference in value, and we know that he may have thought he was worth more than the 18 per year and wanted to be paid like a top five, top three guy. Do you think any of his reluctance had to do with his skepticism about the offensive system or the offensive talent that he was surrounded by or the system that Matt Nagy employs or uses? Because here we are, six games in, he's not been targeted as much as Darnell Mooney. He's not as productive as Darnell Mooney, and he's making money like a number one wide receiver. Do you think those things entered into the equation at all?
I mean, the guy started his career in Jacksonville and played with a terrible quarterback. Then he comes to Chicago and played with a terrible quarterback. And, yeah, I'm sure that came into play for him. He didn't know when he signed that franchise tag, when he refused any kind of contract, they had Nick Foles and they had Mitch as the two quarterbacks. He didn't know they were making a big change. He didn't know if Russell Wilson was coming here, anything. So, he probably figured if they get a quarterback, I'll have the numbers. All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's squeeze in Deep Dish. He's on the road. Hi, Deep Dish.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I want to talk a little bit about the mockery from the NFL quarterbacks again, and specifically Tom Brady. I mean, to pile on this, it's the second time he's mocked us. If you remember back in the Trestman era, I mean, they whooped us. They scored 51 points. He takes a nice little Twitter post, 5-1 with Giselle making fun of us. I didn't like it at the time. But at least that one, it was sort of like, yeah, I guess we deserve that. The last time Tom Brady played us, he had a blackout of his own where he couldn't even remember what down it was. So for him to kind of pile on, I thought was a little rich.
I don't think he was going after the Bears, Deep Dish. Thanks for the call.
No,
he was just having fun with his buddy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
I think it was just a tweaking.
Bears were incidental.
Rodgers. The Bears, they just happened to be the opponent. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't personal. It wasn't something that should conjure up images of a 8-year-old Twitter beef that somebody has with him. I don't even remember that tweet. Do you remember that one, glorious one?
I'm sure Eddie Jackson will tweet it out at some point. Or is 8 years not long enough for him to go back? I don't know. We'll get to all of it. We got Big's time next. We'll find out. We'll ask him his take. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.